Recording.
Good evening, squirrels. This is Brita reporting for duty despite all odds.
She's hepped up on goofballs, so
despite having a head cold.
If we had a medal, we'd give it to you.
Yeah. That's right.
We should have a like a meritorious squirrel.
Yes. Donald Trump will nominate you Presidential Medal of Squirrel Freedom.
There you go. Medal of Squirrel Honor.
Yeah. Right up there with Tiger Woods. He's such a racist.
Oh, man. Oh, I that Tiger Woods thing was so funny because all the liberals were like, oh, of course he gives it to somebody who played golf. Well, I think Barack Obama gave it to like Jack Nicklaus and,
yeah.
You know, don't quote me.
Greg Norman.
But like the number of celebrities and sports players from Barack Obama, you know.
The real part is going to be when they try to reprise the grab him by the pussy in 2020 and he's running against creepy Joe Biden.
Oh, I hope they nominate him. Oh my God.
18-point lead.
Do it.
I mean, this out of this field of midgets, that's not saying much.
All they have to do is film of him groping girls on a loop.
Yeah. Oh, it should be playing at every campaign appearance Trump makes.
He would not make the. I think he'd lose the women vote. I think women would like not want to go out and vote.
That has to be really uninspiring.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, look at the candidates the Democrats have. I mean, Joe Biden is outpolling everybody by, you know, almost 20%. I mean, it's Joe Biden who, you know, is
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden had to resign from the 1988 presidential campaign.
Yes, he did for plagiarism.
And there were some other shenanigans as well. Plagiarism is the one that stands out.
I looked it up, and I believe the very first time he ran for president was like 1984.
Oh, that was a smart move. I'm going to run against the most popular president since Washington.
Yeah, I let me just see here. Maybe it was 88. Somewhere I saw 84. Maybe he gave it a go in 84, but it wasn't like a, you know. But, jeez, can you imagine? Like, he's been in politics since.
Yeah. But how long has he been a senator?
Right.
He actually has more hair now than he did in 1988.
I know. How many facelifts has he had, do you think? Like, his, you know, I'm surprised his ears aren't touching in the back.
Oh, my God.
And, mind you, like, he went after this whole, you know, Joe Biden has groped me and blah, blah, blah. And he came out and he's like, I'm going to try to be better. And I'm going to, you know, blah, blah. Just this Tuesday, he...
Ten-year-old girl,
he said, I bet you're as smart as you are good looking. Ew, who says that to a 10-year-old?
Ridiculously. Yeah.
Ugh, gross.
Why would you call a 10-year-old good looking?
Because you're Joe Biden and you can't help it. That's why.
It is. It's like it's pathological.
Yeah.
He's
like all those other creepy sex perverts. They can't help themselves. I mean, it's not like they chose. I mean, literally, you know, they didn't choose to be creepy sex perverts. They just are, and they can't help it. And they have to do what they have to do. And Biden's the same way. He literally can't help it.
Now I'm wondering one of two things.
And it was 1984, by the way. He got 0.03% of the convention vote against Mondale. Yeah.
He got 0.03 more than I did, and I was 13.
Yeah.
Oh. But I'm wondering two different things here. I'm wondering if they're not pushing Biden now to get him away.
That now, can be.
He's out in front. Trump is going to spend all of his time and effort digging up dirt on Joe Biden, which is very easy. And then at the last moment, Biden mysteriously craters, bows out, and boom, Kamala Harris is in.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think Kamala Harris is going to be the candidate.
Well, she'll be a candidate, but it won't be because Biden's not setting himself up willingly to be the fall guy so somebody else can be president. That's liberals don't do that.
I don't think Biden's smart enough. I really don't. This guy, it wasn't just the speeches that he plagiarized. He plagiarized his way through law school.
Sure.
Because he's Joe Biden, he wasn't kicked out. Here's a guy. This is a guy. He is Donald Trump. They can't. He's an old, rich white guy from a family with connections who got by on his name. He takes away so many points the left has been using against Trump. I can't see him running. I can't see him going head to head with Trump. I really don't.
Yeah, but I can't see any Democrats going head to head with Trump.
I could see Beto. I mean, him and his 0.001%. I think it's going to be Harris.
I hope it is.
I have a feeling because she checks off all the identity politics boxes.
That's true. Woman, black. And
they are so wrapped up in identity politics.
And isn't she the one that got her start by sleeping with, what's his name?
Yes. I don't know what his name is, but yes. They'll say it's not connected, of course, but sure.
It's a personal matter from a long time ago, just like.
Right. They were both consenting adults, blah, 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 blah.
Hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't buy it?
Well, I mean, I just don't. Yeah. I mean, you know, the liberals can twist themselves up to believe anything they want for any reason they want because Orange Man bad. But
yeah,
man, they have nothing. They have here's the thing. It looks like the 2016 Republican field without a Trump.
Yeah,
only not as good. I mean, think about it. Who did you have Republicans in 2016? You had Jeb Bush.
You had Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz. You know, without Trump.
Pre-beard Ted Cruz.
Without Trump, Jeb would have won the nomination for the Republican Party. I have no doubt in my mind.
Are you really?
No, he was the anointed successor.
Huh.
Yeah, you've got.
It wasn't going to be Cruz. Cruz had no hope. I mean, Cruz. I would have loved to see Cruz as president, but I don't think he would have been as successful as Trump has been, because he doesn't have the pit bull dogfight mentality that Trump has.
And
Jeb would have just been.
You look at this man. He obviously doesn't care. He is the monkey flying the plane. He doesn't care. And sometimes we get a Neil Gorsuch or a Brett Kavanaugh out of the deal.
That's
bad.
We also don't forget, we also get two regulations gone for every one implemented.
Yeah.
People aren't paying attention to that, but they're getting rid of so many stupid, useless regulations now.
He's also rolling back a lot of the really, really draconian Obama level era, right. Like cafe standards.
Yep.
The fact we had cafe standards where your average for a manufacturer's fleet of cars was 50 miles per gallon. That's what the best of the best hybrids get now. And we had, it was like
unattainable.
It was not a long time. It was like 2025, I believe. They had to, I'm seeing if I can Google it quickly.
Well, it doesn't matter what time because it's unattainable. Those standards, we in order to attain those standards, everybody would have to be driving plastic smart cars or something.
2025. That's insane. That's 6 years that literally have to invent technology that doesn't exist.
Right.
Do you know what cars get 50 miles per gallon? The Geo Metro. Do you know what cars sold abysmally bad? The Geo Metro, because we don't want them. There have been a handful of cars that get that kind of gas mileage. Prius on a good day, the Metro, the Passat, the diesel Volkswagen, pretty much all of the diesel Volkswagens, which, by the way, they got those numbers by lying about them. Point is, they don't exist. And 50 miles per gallon is the average. Not you need to have cars that can get it. Your fleet has to average it. So for every pickup truck that gets 20, something's got to get 80 miles per gallon. They're going to have to start making mopeds.
Well, you know what gets really good gas mileage?
Bicycles.
No. Well, I mean, you know, things you actually want to drive that get good gas mileage.
Lawnmowers.
Turbo diesels.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what you can't buy in the U.S.?
Yep.
Yeah.
A turbo diesel. You know where you can buy them outside the U.S.? Everywhere.
Where?
Everywhere. The entire rest of the world, you can buy a turbo diesel.
Which
gets phenomenal gas mileage. And it doesn't have to go in a shit econo box either. It can go into a regular size car and still get 25, 26, 28, 30 miles a gallon. But they can't sell them in the U.S.
Yeah. If you could come up with a full-size car that still got 30 to 35 miles per gallon, you would not be able to keep them in stock.
Turbo diesel would do it.
Exactly.
You could put a turbo diesel in Breeders' car to get 30 miles a gallon.
All right.
It wouldn't sound as good, though. You got to admit. You get that. There's just something. So I'm the only one that... This is weird. I'm the only one of the squirrels that doesn't have a V8.
Oh, Jay. Or do you have
EcoBoost, Alan?
No, I have V8, 5-liter V8. It's so funny. I remember when 5-liter was considered like the small engine.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the small economy engine.
The Ford 302 and the Chevy 305.
Yeah.
I mean, hell.
Those were the ones you didn't want because they were too underpowered.
Now it's like, oh, goodness.
Yeah, now it's like, oh. And the thing is, you know, the turbo boost is not that much better than the 5-liter as far as mileage. I mean, it's slightly better on torque. I guess if I was pulling a boat, I'd get the turbo, but you know.
Hey, a boat you don't really need.
If it's a big boat.
Well, yeah.
You know, you gotta yank it up
you'd want a diesel anyway, so.
Well, yeah. See that, anyway. That's the other thing. If you're towing anything, the last thing you want in your car is a gasoline engine. You want a diesel, so.
We're boring breeder with car talk.
I know, it's terrible.
But
I was just reading an article about how you can hire a scary clown to deliver donuts to your friends. And I'm like making a list in my head, like who would I do that to?
Oh my God.
Now did you say
like donuts, right, Alan?
Did you say clown or clone?
Clown.
Here's the thing. Most of your friends would shoot the clown.
I know.
So you know,
I think it's hilarious though. That's almost up there with the glitter bomb.
Yeah.
I'd have to shoot somebody for that too. There's just no call for that. Hey Brita.
Yeah.
You want to tell us about your gun class?
Man, it feels like it was so long ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
It was so long ago. So much has happened between then and now. I actually took notes in my gun class, and I wrote at the top of my notes, basic AR May 14th. So I took the class on May 14th. My instructor's name was Chad, and he had a mohawk. So that was
awesome.
Cool.
Did he say bruh?
He did not. Oh. He was kind of like, I think he was ex-military. So he's like, you know, he kind of knew what he was about. So, and he was a nice guy, but as anticipated, I was the only female in the class.
That actually surprised me a little.
Really? It did not surprise me at all.
It surprised me because most guys won't go to a class for something like that. They'll just go, hey, I know.
Oh, really?
Women are a lot better at taking classes for like stuff like that than men are.
Well, I did get a chance to talk to the instructor a little bit while we were on the range. Well, let me just say that the class went from 5 to 9, and the first part of the class was all in the classroom. And Chad went through the entire rifle and showed us all the parts and talked about, you know, what all the parts do. And then he proceeded to take apart the rifle, you know, down to like the little teeny weeny parts, which I'm kind of terrified to do myself because I'm sure I'm going to lose something. But he took it all apart. And he showed us each piece individually, and of course, I was the only one writing it all down. I was the only one in the class taking notes, which was like crazy to me. You know,
that doesn't surprise me either.
Yeah.
So he like went through all the different parts, and he told what the parts do, and he showed, you know, and then he put the rifle back together. And also before he put it back together, he talked about like how to clean it and what to clean and how much oil to put and, you know, all sorts of stuff. So, and then he put it back together, and then he kind of showed us, you know, how to hold the rifle and different stances and that sort of thing. And it was all really interesting. But again, I was the only one taking notes and asking questions. And the men, there was like 3 old dudes, me, and then like kind of like a maybe in his 20s, 30s kind of guy with a big beard and kind of hipster eyeglasses. So I don't know what was going on there, but everybody was very nice and attentive, but I was the only one taking notes. So I kind of felt like, oh, great, you know, I'm a dork. But I wrote it all down, and then we went on to the range. And we talked about how to adjust the buttstock to fit your arm. You know, like how to, you hold your arm at a 90 degree angle. Everybody knows this. I'm telling people that know this stuff. But you hold your arm, you hold your arm at a 90 degree angle, and, you know, you grip the grip like how you'd hold it in your hand. And then the end of the buttstock is supposed to touch your bicep. And that's about like the right length for your buttstock. And I thought that was interesting because I'd never learned that before. And, it kind of gives you an idea, and then you kind of practice and feel what it looks like and, you know, how it feels. So, and then we talked about zeroing the rifle. And since my rifle had never been shot before by anyone, I want to thank you, Alan, and also another friend of mine who said, well, I hope it runs. And so I was really anxious going on the range. I was like, you know, I'm going to put, you know, ammunition in this and pull the trigger and nothing's going to happen. But it happened. It shot. Yay. The rifle ran. And score report 001.
The thing is not that it runs, but that it stops correctly.
Oh, no, it did. Everything was fine.
Critical.
Everything was fine. So
getting a gun to fire is not that hard. Getting it to stop firing is.
Well, it did. Actually, the guy complimented me on my rifle, and he was like, oh, wow, you got some good stuff on here. And, you know, he's like checking it out stuff. So,
damn right.
Props for SQRPT 001. And so we talked about zeroing the rifle, and I was way left. Like, I was shooting way left. And part of that I know was me because I have, like, not shot anything in a very long time. And, certainly not this rifle ever. And so he kind of like showed me how to adjust the sights, and that, you know, I didn't know how to do that before. And, that was cool, you know? And so he kind of brought it over so that I was kind of shooting more. He's like, I just want to get you on paper. Like everything else we, you know, and it turned out I was getting on paper and I was, you know, shooting groups. So yay me, but I was still really left. So, you know, I don't know if it was a rifle or me, but it needs a lot more work. And, you know, we talked about things like bullet drop and, you know, that sort of thing. So, cause the range where we were at was 25 yards, I think. Yeah. And so, he was saying that how, when you zero your rifle for 25 yards, it's the same as 300 yards, or should be, because of bullet, you know, the bullet drop.
Roughly. So it's more 250, but
yeah, it was just really interesting.
At
so
25 yards, the bullet's still going up.
Right. Right. And it comes back down in the same spot. It's, I want to say it's 225 or 250.
Yeah, something okay. Like that.
But it's close. I mean, the different, yeah. Sorry, I geek about this thing.
It was really interesting, and you know, stuff I didn't know, and I shot better than I expected. But there's a number of things that, you know, I talked to the instructor, talked to Chad on the range a little bit about the class, and I asked him, I said, do many women take this class? And he says, no, not at all.
Huh. That is surprising.
Well, he said two things. He said, number one, women, most women only take pistol classes. And he said,
I can see that.
And see, because women want to carry a gun for protection, so they take pistol classes. And number two, he says, if a woman is taking like a rifle class, an AR class, he says, usually they will take a private lesson.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Which both of those things like totally make sense to me, but it, you know, so we talked a little bit about that. And I noticed also that the benches at the range, it's kind of like, it's an indoor range and it's 25 yards. It has the standard like bench across where you put all your stuff and whatever. But I am 5 feet tall. And the bench literally was about nipple height on me. So that's really high. So if you imagine trying to hold a rifle
up
that high, it's really super, really super uncomfortable. It got to the point, I mean, I'm strong, you know, I'm a strong man. I'm really strong, but it got to the point where I had to rest the rifle down on the bench on the magazine because it was just getting so heavy to hold it that high up and that awkwardly and try to shoot accurately at that point. So even resting the rifle on the magazine kind of as like a, I don't know, a little thing. It was still too high for me. I felt like I needed kind of like a step stool, like to get a good thing. And they did not have any lower benches, which was a bummer. If anybody's planning a, you know, setting up a range or something, consider that. Like there's, people are different heights and small chicks want to shoot too.
That
so. Would
have been too high even if you were shooting pistol.
No, it's, pistol, I do okay on pistol at that height because it's pretty standard.
Yeah, it's still too high.
I was reading, I don't know where I read it. It was an MDAV or something, and he went to the range, and or he was saying it on the show. All the social media, I don't know, I get it confused, but he was saying that the range that he goes to also have lower benches for people who want to in wheelchairs.
That'd be good.
Who want to shoot. That's awesome. And you don't even have to be in a wheelchair to use it. You can just be a person sitting down.
Sure.
Which would be great for women because if you don't have the arm strength to hold up a
rifle,
that would be terrific. But yeah, that was something I noticed like, oh man. And I thought, well, you know I'm good at shooting rifles. I love to shoot rifles. I know I'm like, you know, I'm pretty good at it because I kind of have the feel for it or something. I don't know. Anyway, but it's always been like seated or prone or, you know, that sort of thing, not standing. trying to, you know, up above where it's comfortable. So
standing's like the worst position.
Yeah, because there's so many moving parts there. Many moving parts, right? Your whole body is moving and you're, you know, everything's moving. So in a couple of weeks, we're going out to the range that we joined, and we have to take the orientation class. And then after that, we're going to, you know, start going out with my rifle and figuring things out.
Awesome. So
that should be fun. Now, yeah, it should be fun. I'm excited to get back into it, because I'm like, I love shooting. And it was like, I have not been shooting in, like, I would say 2 years. And I got back out there and I was like, oh yeah. I was like, oh, this is it. I miss this so much. And it was like I missed the smell of it. And I was like, I missed it a lot. So I'm happy to be getting back to it. Good. Jay, you were going to say something?
Oh, I was just asking do you have an optic or are you using iron sights?
I was using iron sights. I haven't decided on an optic yet.
Okay. I was just curious if you picked something.
And so I kind of wanted to learn iron sights as well. Like I want to do that part. Like I want to do the work with that first.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, as long as you can see the front sight, iron sights are great.
Yeah.
Especially an AR, because, you know, it's not like you have, you know, it's not like recoil's an issue or anything like that. So it's really easy to use iron sights on that rifle. So.
So that was my experience.
Fun.
It was kind of cool, and it was interesting the I don't know, like the gun safety kind of thing that they do in the classrooms. They let you have your rifle there, but they don't let you have your ammo. So, you know, I took my rifle out of the case and the magazines that were already loaded were in the case, so they let me keep my rifle, but then they took my case away. I don't know. That sort of stuff, I'm like, okay. I know it makes people feel good.
Yep. Yeah, you run into all kinds of weird stuff like that. Like, I went to one class once where they made everybody leave their gun outside the classroom on a table.
Oh.
Okay. And I'm like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
I've never understood that. I can walk around. I can carry it. You know, I can carry it everywhere I go. But when I come into this place, suddenly I have to leave it on a table and it's like those ranges where it's like the ranges where you can't, they don't want you to, like, if you're carrying concealed or something like that. They won't let you, like, draw and fire your gun.
Right.
You know, it's like.
This range, I believe, you're not allowed to carry concealed in the range. Even if you're like.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of ranges.
Like, you could
like
have, like, a whole table full of pistols that you're shooting on the range.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to have one on your belt. Even if you're not shooting it, you're not allowed to have that.
No, a lot of them do that.
Well, it's dumb. You know, it's kind of weird. But, you know, it makes them feel better. Okay.
It's probably like an insurance thing.
It may be.
You know, it's probably like the insurance is double if they allow it. So they're like, oh, we don't allow it.
Yeah, that could be.
They also don't have metal detectors, so, you know.
Yeah.
They have x-ray machines? No. Not saying, but.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you know, that's one thing. When I used to go, you know, there's, you know, there's still, even in this day and age, you know, around even large cities, there's still places where you can go and shoot, like out in the woods and stuff. And I always made it a habit to carry a pistol, even, you know, one that I wasn't necessarily shooting, because you never know who's going to come up on you, you know, when you're out. You know,
yep,
doing stuff. You know, you're sitting there shooting, and you just don't know. You don't know about people, right? So you're sitting there shooting. If you were going to rely on the gun that you were target practicing with as your self-defense gun, well, in the first place, you probably don't have it loaded with, you know, hollow points. It's probably some cheap ass range ammo or something you're shooting with. And, you know, odds are you just emptied it. So,
and when you go to change targets, you're not going to drag it with you. You leave it.
Exactly. I mean, it's not, you know, it's just one of those things, you know. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to be Mr. Paranoid, but, you know, at the same time, I think it's prudent to, you know, have something extra just in case.
So I wanted to ask you guys about this whole cleaning the rifle thing. Mm-hmm. So I took the rifle out to the range, right? Yeah. And I shot 100 rounds. And I did pretty good, actually. But so do you take it all the way apart to clean it every single time?
Nope.
No.
Like, because that was really daunting for me. Like, he literally, like, had pieces, really, really tiny, like, tiny pieces. I'm thinking, oh, my God. Like,
you still run into people like that that are, like, and that's,
I'm sure he was just doing it for the class, maybe. Well, like, maybe he's showing us all the parts.
Okay, so there's a lot of people that learned how to clean guns from their dads or from their grandfathers. And their grandfathers learned how to clean guns because back then, all the ammo used corrosive primers. And when you shoot ammo with corrosive primers, you absolutely have to detail clean your gun after every time you shoot it, because if you don't, your gun turns into a pile of rusted crap.
Okay.
So, and a lot of people still have that mentality because that's how they were taught, and that's, you know, that's just the way they were raised and all that kind of stuff. So, but with modern ammunition, and I stress that modern ammunition, because if you go find some old Eastern Bloc shit that's got corrosive primers, you better be cleaning your gun to the, you know, take it to down to the tiny pieces and clean it. But if you're shooting modern ammunition, unless you just, you know, you're just like super anal retentive about it, I wouldn't bother cleaning it until, you know, at that level, until, you know, the crud build up in, you know, impaired functionality.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't hurt to run a bore snake down it, you know, take the bolt out, you know, spray some CLP on it, you know, wipe off the worst of the crud, run a bore snake down the barrel a couple of times, and that's good enough for me. After that's about the most I ever do, unless, you know, like I said, unless the crud buildup impairs functionality. What about you, Jay?
Jay loves cleaning guns.
You know, I've actually gotten out of that. I was actually going to say exactly what Alan said. Run a bore snake through a couple of times, couple passes, pull the bolt out, wipe it down, wipe the crud off, put a little bit of oil on it, not a lot, and you're done.
And in fact, your bolt, Rita, you don't really need it because it's one of those.
Nickel.
Yeah, it's the nickel boron.
It still doesn't hurt to wipe it down.
No, it doesn't hurt. No, and a little oil doesn't hurt either, but you don't need to like coat it.
Right.
Like the old stuff.
You actually don't want to, because then you take it kind of goop thing.
Yeah, it gums up with crap.
But
yeah, that was one thing he said. He's, you know, very little oil. If you're going to oil it, like, don't over oil it.
Yep.
Just a light coating. Maybe, you know, every 1,000 rounds, maybe take the bolt out, pull the bolt apart, give it a good thorough cleaning. If you can get to a sonic cleaner, those are awesome because it's way less work, but you don't need it. I mean, I'll look. In fact, there's a video about cleaning on shootingillustrated.com.
Uh-huh.
I recognize.
Nice self-plug there, Jay.
We did it, you know? We did it for exactly this reason.
Is it of you?
It is me, yes.
Oh, okay, then I'll watch that. I was actually thinking of watching YouTube videos to learn how to do stuff anyway, so I will watch you.
Oh, well.
Cool.
You know, you're...
Jay's not going to steer you wrong. Like some people you see on YouTube, you don't want to. don't listen to them.
I have managed to not blow up any of my ARs, so...
Okay.
I'm going to leave it at that.
If they start telling you about the benefits of tactical wheelbarrows, you know you're listening at the wrong channel.
Hey, you know, they do have their place. Just saying. And if you do run into any of the little bits, let me know. I've built a couple. I could probably tell you what they are. So
okay.
I'm at the point where
did you enjoy the sproing of freedom?
It didn't really sproing that much.
Yeah.
It didn't have like a real big sproing.
This are we not doing phrasing anymore?
I'm sorry. I just noticed what I it had a mighty sproing.
I remember you didn't care for the sproing of freedom for a long
time. But this one was like, it felt solid. It didn't feel very, like some ARs, you feel a little tinker toy to me, like a little too plastic, a little too, you know.
That's because you have a very good
coil
for in spring.
Yes.
So.
Now,
I had fun.
Refresh my memory, Brita. Does your AR have a bayonet lug?
It does not.
I don't believe so. Oh,
it's a free float barrel.
Ah, it's both good and bad because every rifle should have a bayonet, but it is going to be better. So,
but it does have the what is it, the M-lock? It has that. So I guess you could like attach one to the
hand. You could stick a pistol bayonet on it.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, you could stick a pistol on it with a bayonet on the pistol.
Oh my God!
Don't stick a pistol on your rifle. That's bad.
No, don't worry.
They will give you a dog just so the ATF can shoot it.
Have no fear.
Awesome.
Oh, so yeah, that was that.
It's very interesting that you bring it up, Brita, because I'm taking a special trip to the range this weekend to teach my son how to shoot.
Really?
Not really teach him to shoot.
I was about to say, like,
going to familiarize
him. You've done that already.
Yeah, I not teach him to shoot. I'm actually giving him a tutorial in the firearms he will encounter in the armed forces.
Isn't he going in the Navy?
Going into the Navy. They do shoot in the Navy. So I have an M9, a P320, and an M4. Obviously not a real M4, but an M forgery. He gets to shoot an AR with iron sights. This one has a bayonet lug. I might put a bayonet on it just because.
Just for fun. He is your son, after all.
My boy. Actually, my bayonets are at work for obvious reasons.
Bayonets are fun.
And
speaking of sharp, pointy things.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Jay, were you done?
No, just that's it.
The Texas legislature this session passed a law, and the governor signed it, that repealed the ban on carrying in public tomahawks, trench knives, and brass knuckles.
Tomahawks.
Yes. It used to be illegal to carry a tomahawk in public in Texas.
Okay. That sounds racist.
Because Indians, you know.
Racist.
But also trench knives and brass knuckles were illegal to carry. And as of September 1st of this year, they will be legal.
So are you going to get yourself a tomahawk?
You know.
Alan, you do not have a tomahawk.
Well, here's the thing. I have a couple of hatchets, which are kind of like tomahawks. I don't think
they're the same.
No, they're not. But I'm just saying, you know, a tomahawk's one of those kind of useful, you know, useful tools. I might get one and put it in my Jeep.
Single-handed axe from North America. Yeah. Traditionally resembling a hatchet with a straight shaft.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
You should get a pipe tomahawk.
But I was thinking, you know.
Well, marijuana is not legal in Texas, is it?
No.
Okay. Because I was thinking you could do both at the same time.
Yeah, but see, I have guns, and you know, I may want to buy another one someday, which means I can't do that. What was I going to say? Damn it! Oh, brass knuckles.
Brass knuckles. Have I met Brass Knuckles?
I've, you know, it's kind of one of those things, you know, it's like at least in Texas, we're like repealing the prohibition on stuff. You know, it's because, you know, as everybody knows, prohibition doesn't work. So, you know, the criminals that want to carry a tomahawk or a trench knife or brass knuckles, they did it anyway. So, you know, I can just see as, you know, some, you know, otherwise legitimate person walking down the street, if I thought brass knuckles were, and you know, it's kind of like, you know, what are you going to use those for? Well, okay, I might hit somebody. Well, in self-defense, you know, that's what my pistol's for, you know. the days when you could engage in fisticuffs and not get in trouble for it, you know, like in a bar fight or something, are long gone.
And tomahawks are just so messy.
Yeah, well,
what a mess.
You know, you have to get within reach. That's tomahawks is the same problem with knives and stuff like that. You know.
No, Alan, you throw the tomahawks. It's like the latest craze.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that because no.
There is that axe throwing craze going on.
All right, see?
Yeah, but man, you know, that's like knife throwing. You know, yes, you can throw knives, but you know,
what if you miss? Then they have your knife.
Well, not only that, but it's hard to throw a knife. Okay, so you have to throw it hard enough that it goes, that it sticks into somebody. It sticks into them in the right place. You know, it sticks into them instead of bouncing off of them. I mean, these are all hard things. I mean, I've played around with throwing knives and stuff like that, and it is not easy. It requires a known distance. You have to know the spin rate of your knife. You have to know how many times it's going to turn in a particular distance, which makes it a thoroughly impractical self-defense weapon.
But, you know, we watch Hollywood and they just, the good guy just picks a knife up and heaves it and it goes right into the bad guy's chest and he drops dead immediately.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting that Hollywood lied to us, Alan?
Yes, I am.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's what they do.
I wanted to bring this up because it's been like my obsession this week. And Alan's going to get mad at me about talking about this, but you brought up the whole banning of stuff.
Yes.
And oh God. Cuyahoga County, which is the county west, directly west
to me,
they have decided to ban plastic grocery bags.
Oh my God.
And okay, so the town I grew up in, and the town I work in is like one city over from Cuyahoga County. And as a result, it's kind of like a dying city. Like all the businesses are leaving and the schools are kind of, you know, it's like, it's not the city I grew up in, certainly anymore. And, the demographics are changing and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So we have the most recent guy elected as mayor. He went to high school with my coworker, and he was known to be the party guy, drug dealer. And now he's the mayor of the town.
So he's Bernie.
Yeah. Having since reformed or something, or gotten a business degree at the community college, or, you know, whatever. So anyway, he has since not only gotten two marijuana dispensaries for the city, you know, increasing business or something, I don't know. But now he's talking about doing a plastic bag ban in the city. And the city has like three stores. And, you know, I was on the local Facebook page and trying to explain to people why this plastic bag ban was not a good idea. You're going to like inconvenience the three businesses that you do have in the city, not to mention that these plastic bag bans do not work. They don't work. Do you have plastic bags in your house, Jay? Like grocery bags?
Yeah, of course.
Like a ton of them, right?
A fair amount. We actually don't use them. They're like leftovers. They're not even, well, not really grocery bags. It's more like Target or Walmart. We actually have large, I guess, box bags is the way to describe them. It's, you know, basically canvas sided with the, you know, like a hard plastic bottom that, you know. Anyway, I prefer them because you can load way more into them than in a plastic bag. And the handles don't show. And it's one of those things. Plastic bag ban, I'll go out of my way to use a plastic bag. Fuck you.
Right.
Because, first of all, you fucking nitwits foisted the plastic bags on us back in the fucking 80s because, you're killing the trees. Fucking morons. Yeah, because pine trees, you can't grow pine trees quick enough.
Right.
Paper.
But also, my point has always been like, okay, so we get those plastic bags at the grocery store. We get them at Target. We get a Walmart. Everybody, everywhere you go, you get a plastic bag. We have plastic bags at the library for people like carrying their books out in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you go, you get a plastic bag, right? So we use the plastic bags as grocery bags, not as grocery bags, as garbage bags.
Yeah.
We don't buy garbage bags because why? We get them for free at the grocery store.
All of the little trash bins around the house. Absolutely. And they're the easiest thing in the world to empty.
Of course.
Grab the handles. Boop, right out in the barrel. Done.
Right.
They're great for Girl Scout cookie time. My daughter grabs a huge stack of them. And when they have a table, they can hand people their cookies and bags.
Yeah.
They get reused. It's not.
Yeah.
And if they stopped having those, you'd just buy them at the store, right? I mean, you'd buy 4 gallon bags or something.
Yes. If they stopped having plastic bags, I would have to actually go out and buy plastic bags to throw away.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, they've done studies about these plastic bag bans. And what they found is that plastic bag bans actually does not cause a reduce in plastic use. Because people have to go out and buy plastic bags to actually use as garbage bags or use as whatever. And they think of those plastic grocery bags. They're really, really thin plastic. I mean, they're like practically like tissue paper. They
fall apart before you.
They fall apart. The plastic bags that you have to buy to replace these, you know, grocery bags are thicker plastic.
Sure.
So you're actually like using more plastic because the bags are thicker.
Well, also, the problem they're trying to solve isn't a problem that needs solving.
Right.
No.
It's the same as the straw ban.
Right. It's stupid and pointless.
It just is a thing about, you know, people want to feel like they're doing something. They want to feel good about themselves. I personally am saving the environment by not using plastic grocery bags. And we got to make everybody not use plastic grocery bags. And then that's what it comes down to.
I hate that we have to do something.
Yeah.
Why?
We should make sure everyone has as miserable an existence as we do.
Yes.
Because it's just petty people exerting the tiny amount of control they have over other people because they can't.
And feeling smug about it.
Yeah.
And this brings me to the point. My final point was I spent a lot of time debating back and forth with a guy on the page, and I decided his last comment, I can't find it now, but his last comment was, oh, here it is. And my point has always been like, this plastic ban has not been proven to work. And it's not the solution. I know that people feel like they need to do something to help the environment. But what if the plastic bag ban is not the right something to do, right? And this guy's answer, and I got to read it to you because it just, at that point, I was just like, I feel like I'm talking to someone not on my level here. Like he said, in response to me, he said, if laws aren't passed, then nothing will ever happen. Too many people are not responsible enough to make good decisions. Think about it. If they took speed limits away, would most people drive at a safe speed? No, and we would have chaos. Plastic bags are a proven detriment to the environment, but people don't care and still dispose of them. The planet is being destroyed, so somebody needs to bring some order, and guess who that has to be? The same people that enforce speed limits, the government. At that point, I checked out. I was like, okay. Wow. We are not on the same planet here. Wow.
You know, it's a proven fact that, if you take the speed limit signs down.
I know that.
99% of the people drive safe speed, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when they're not insane.
Right.
And the people that speed are going to speed anyway, no matter what.
So basically he's saying the Autobahn doesn't exist.
Well, what he's saying is I am a person who cannot control himself, and therefore I need the government to tell me what to do. And I'm going to assume that everybody else on the planet is exactly like me.
Yep.
You know what that sounds like?
A liberal.
Well, it sounds like gun laws. I mean, it sounds like those people who are like, you know, if there were no gun laws, I would just go crazy and shoot everybody. I can't have a gun.
Yeah. Because and those are the people that do, because you see all the time those anti-gun people are always the ones getting arrested for assaulting somebody or you know, doing something crazy or
you know, I really wanted to ask this guy like if he really followed the speed limit every single day.
Of course he doesn't. Nobody does.
Of course he doesn't. Yeah, but you know, at that point I signed out. I was like, no, I'm done. there's no talking to these people. Like, you know, because throughout the history of the world, government has been, this wonderful thing that never abused its own people and never made stupid laws and, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Like Jay says, the government will come to your house and shoot your dog.
Oh, yeah. Just think about that. Plastic. Oh, you know, you got a straw ban in California now. How long before they shoot your dog for having a straw?
Well, yeah. Or,
you know, plastic bag ban. You know, what is, you know, do they
it's like I was going to ask, like, how are they going to enforce it? Like,
well, yeah. They also don't think of the consequences. It's like they think the universe, you know, it's like on the one hand, they think they can change everything. But at the same time, they think if they make a change that nothing else changes. So, you know, they think they can raise taxes in a vacuum and get more money. They think they can ban plastic bags and it'll just mean fewer plastic bags. So they don't bother to stop and think about the consequences of their stupid bullshit.
$15 an hour minimum wage.
Right.
Yes.
Now, Brita, if you want to make this guy's head explode, remind him that it was the government in Alabama that banned abortion after 6 weeks.
Oh boy.
Oh my God. He will, the cognitive dissonance, he'll just,
you know, I know.
And you'll hear the head pop like a tick.
You know, I'm sick and tired of that virtue signaling over the Georgia abortion thing. Okay, so you got all these, you know, Disney's like, oh, we won't film in Georgia now. I mean, so where are you going? We're going to Hollywood. Oh, yeah, there's a big improvement. Or you got Netflix. I was just reading this thing about Netflix. So Netflix has said they're going to rethink their entire investment. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows get made in Georgia. Because Georgia passed a lot of huge tax breaks for people that do production in Georgia. And so you'll see the little tree at the end of the thing where it's like, you know,
peach
shot in Georgia, you know, whatever. So now Netflix is going like, well, we're going to rethink our investment in Georgia over the state's heartbeat abortion ban. You know, basically banning it after they can detect a heartbeat. And yet Netflix is ramping up production in Egypt, where not only is abortion illegal, it is punished. If you get one, you go to jail.
Yeah.
So where's the logic?
It's all virtue signaling.
Of course it is.
And they are no more likely to stop filming in Georgia than they are.
Of course not. The accountants won't let them.
They'd be like, you're insane. Because I'll bet they got a bunch of tax breaks.
Sure they do.
And I'll bet there was some sort of you need to be here for X number of years or do X number of movies or whatnot.
Oh, yeah. For sure. That's always tied in. Yeah.
They're not going to go in and film two movies and be like, bye.
Yeah.
Thanks for not taxing us at all. Bye. We're done. Yeah, but it's just, you know, the government. This is demonstrable fact. Well, guess what? It's a demonstrable fact that abortion is bad for babies. So it's up to the government to step in to do something. I'll bet you must support the Alabama and Georgia laws, right?
Yeah, I bet he does.
Record scratch sound here. Yeah,
exactly.
Kids, ask your parents. parents. Yes, government is a monolithic force for good.
Great.
Said no one in any Eastern European bloc country ever.
Yeah, it's funny how the people that hate communists and socialism the most are the people that used to live in it.
Yeah. And even socialism ain't doing so hot, eh, Venezuela?
Yeah. Yeah, imagine that.
How's those zoo animals taste anyway?
So sad.
Oh, God. That's the socialism diet.
They're not doing it right, though, Jay.
But, you know,
they gotta let AOC, you know, come on.
That goes back to the whole, you know, environment thing. It's like, you know, they're like, you know, we need to give the government all this power to save the environment. And yet, where is the environment the worst? It's in places where the government has the most power. Russia was an environmental disaster area. China?
Oh, man,
oh
China.
Oh, my God, China. China's polluting the entire fucking planet. You know, India, all these countries where the government can do, you know, whatever they want are, you know.
Oh, you know, we're going to pull out of the Kyoto Accord and the climate, the planet, we're all going to die in 10 years. Because we pulled out of the Kyoto Accord, which exempted China and India, exactly. Who are the worst polluters.
Yep.
Wait a minute.
Did you see the story about the CFCs, the chlorofluorocarbons that China's emitting? They've been getting readings of these things in the atmosphere for years now, and they couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And they got more sensitive detectors, and they found out it was all coming from China. And this stuff, China signed the agreement to ban the shit, and yet they're still pumping it out like crazy. So
now it's funny that you mentioned chlorofluorocarbons, because if you remember, kids, put your way back hats on.
Yeah,
remember before global warming was the big
thing? Oh yes, the ozone layer,
hole in the ozone layer.
Oh my God,
yeah.
And before that, it was acid rain. See, it's like, again, get back to Ann Coulter's comment about, for liberals, history began this morning. They act like they didn't go on these blind screaming panics once a decade. You know, that in the 70s, it was the ice age. In the 80s, it was acid rain. In the 90s, it was the hole in the ozone. And the 2000s, they glommed onto global warming.
Yep. And now it's climate change, because global warming wasn't enough.
Well, and they made money on global warming.
Sure.
So they were around. You know, because... You know, it felt good to ban, you know, hairspray so that you wouldn't make the hole in the ozone layer worse. But you didn't make any damn money off of it. Al Gore didn't buy a 100-foot-long houseboat banning Clairol.
Nope.
You know, it was
asthma inhalers.
Yeah, you can send me $1 billion and be exempt from worrying about climate change.
Yeah,
find indulgence. You'll be good. You'll get to heaven.
That's exactly what it is, a plenary indulgence. It's like it's like what they used to do for the, you know, write the Pope a check and you're good to go.
There you go.
Send Al Gore a check and you're good to go.
He will personally exempt you from global warming.
And they tell you that it's not a religion.
So, you know, when the polar ice caps all melt and the seas rise 85 million feet and we're all drowning, you will be on the Ark. You will make it on board Al Gore's Ark. And by that, I mean his houseboat.
Yeah.
And you can stop at his mansion that uses more electricity than most cities.
Hey, he bought an indulgence for that.
That's right. No, he gave himself an indulgence. Yeah. The Pope doesn't have to buy indulgences. Right.
He's the Pope.
And he says, I didn't even have the bourbon tonight. I can't.
Oh, looky there. It's been an hour.
It has been an hour.
We talked about breeding upper class and global warming and plastic bag bans. This has been an informative show.
And rifle cleaning.
That's right.
Yeah. It's educational and explicit.
Only if you have a dirty mind.
Well, I mean, can you have on iTunes, can you have an explicit rating and an educational show?
No. Well, actually,
no.
I think you can. I think you can have an educational show without explicit.
I could talk about you all day long.
As long as you don't talk about pussy hats or something.
I always thought the cats would get mad about that.
Well,
yeah, they don't like cats. All right.
Speaking of cats, it's 9 o'clock and it's all quiet in my house. What is happening?
Did he fall asleep?
Probably. My mic hasn't locked in the bedroom.
He had a busy day watching you.
Yeah, I know. I was homesick today and he had to be like glued to me every moment of the day.
Yeah, that's exhausting.
He's a good nurse cat. So what do we got going on next week? We all going
to
be here?
Same thing we try to do every week.
Okay.
Shouldn't be a problem. Next week, you know what's going on next week?
What?
My son graduates from high school.
Oh, so you won't be here?
No. It's on Tuesday.
So. Oh, okay.
My daughter graduated.
That's exciting.
I was just going to ask. Yeah. You're... Daughter's about the same age. Yep.
She graduated last week. She's done.
Should we introduce them?
No.
That was astounding. No.
I don't want Alan to have to kill my boy.
Oh. Well.
I don't. Oh, there it is. I just found the video for you, Brita.
What?
Oh.
What am I clicking?
Here, I'll send
you. Squirrel on the...
I will put
Skype
I'll put the link in the show.
Okay.
Post.
Oh,
put it in the thing so I can get to
it. Brita can send it to you. Oh my God. I have the worst computer. My computer is 8 years old. I feel like I need to mention that.
Time for an upgrade, Jay.
Yeah. Well, no, the one thing I need to do is get one of them big old terabyte hard drives. And put everything on it and then
let it die.
Just take it outside and just put
them. Target practice.
Sorry, old paint. You know, we got to put them down like old Yeller. Ooh. Sorry. Too soon.
All right. I'm going to go to bed now.
All right.
Me and Mr. Sudafed have a date.
We'll be back next week. I got a thing in my throat. Everybody, don't get more holes in you than you need.
Okay.
Over the weekend.
Okay.
Use all the plastic bags.
That's yes, right. Double bag it.
That's right.
Double bag it.
Extra.
Okay.
We will
have a good one, everybody.
Bye.
Good night. Bye.